Okay, Romans 13, 11 through 14 is where we are tonight. Last week we did Romans 8, 9, and 10. And if everybody remember, the command to love one another was used over and over and over again, and that's what we saw through the text, and that's what we studied about loving one another and to fulfill the law. And we are supposed to be examples of God's law. So tonight, the title of the lesson is Let Us Love Honestly. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, Father, to learn more about you, your ways, your decrees, Father, your laws, and also how much you do love us, Father, and what you have done for us. But you do expect things out of your Son. Those things are righteousness, Father, to live by righteousness, to walk by righteousness, be righteous before you. Tonight, Father, as we get into your word and learn more about this, Father, I pray that you will bless each and every one of us. If there is a time for repentance, let it be tonight, Father. So we thank you tonight, Father, for your word. So Romans 13, 11 through 14. Let me read those. Everybody there? Do this, knowing the time that it is already, the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing, drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity, not sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh in regard to its lust. Let's go back to verse 11. The nearness of it, he's talking about salvation. If you look at the last part of 11 there, now salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. But let's look at the first two words here. It says, do this. And you have to go back to verse 10 to understand what he's talking about. And this is what we learned last week. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So he says, do this. Fulfill this law. Knowing the time that it is already, the hour for you to awaken from sleep. So what does he mean, awaken from sleep? What is he talking about here? We are not to be oblivious or insensitive to our sins or our sin. You know as well as I do, when you're a Christian for a long period of time, you tend to drift off a little bit. It wasn't like the first day we were born again when you were on fire and everything you did, God blessed, and every prayer that you prayed, God answered, and every healing that you needed, God gave it, and this and that. And then all of a sudden, something starts happening to us over a period of time. Yeah, we are. You could actually say that we're missing a refresh button. But he's telling us to awake from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believe. Remember, we are saved by grace, by the grace of God. Therefore, we must be examples of his grace. Go to Ephesians 5. Now, I scratched out, it's blacked out there on your paper because I made a boo-boo there. Yeah, Ephesians 5, 7 through 10. So remember, awaken from sleep, okay? In Ephesians 5, 7 through 10, we read, therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. So this is us now. We're not supposed to be partakers. He's telling us, wake up from this. Wake up from sleep. You've been asleep too long. Get back in the light. Let that light shine from you. Thank you. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. 1 Thessalonians 5. If you go to 6, you've gone too far. Yeah. Would someone read that, please? 1 through 11. Remember the thing I told you, that we're supposed to be examples of God's grace. And being a light if you see that last verse there, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are. So let me ask you a question. Do you remember how fired up you were back when you were first born again? And now you've kind of, we've all kind of just drifted away, not drifted away, but we're here. We know that we're saved. We know that we can get by with certain things. But the Lord is telling us to stop doing that. Have you stopped seeking the kingdom and His righteousness? Have you stopped praying for your neighbors? I believe that one thing that we don't see is an increase in people coming to the Lord is because brothers and sisters have stopped praying for those things to take place for their neighbors. Have we stopped fasting? I remember when fasting was a constant thing in the church when we were first born again. And I remember times when Mary and I fasted and things took place because of fasting. Things happened because of our fasting and by seeking the Lord. Do we encourage one another anymore? Do we build one another up? You know, what the Lord is saying, wake up from sleep. It's time to get back and doing these things again. Don't put them off anymore. Don't be complacent. In verses 12b through 13, it is necessary to apply what we believe in. If you'll notice, in three times, let us is written in these verses. So let's go over those. The last part of verse 12, where it says, therefore, he says, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness. Now he's talking to born-again Christians here, not the lost world. Talking to us and talking to us directly. So lay those things, those deeds of darkness aside. And then he goes on, he says, let us put on the armor of light. So let's look at the verses that go along with this, what our Lord is talking, Paul is writing about and what our Lord is talking about here. So let us lay aside the deeds of darkness. Look at Ephesians 5, 11 through 14. We've got quite a few verses in it. To be able to lay aside these deeds of darkness, we've got to put on the armor of God. And that's what he's telling us here. Just put on the full armor of God in verse 11. So you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world's forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so you will be able to resist in the day, the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. So you see, so to be able to, where was I? Yeah, to be able to lay aside the darkness, okay, we've got to know how to put on the armor of God, and how to wear it, and what it's for, and what it's used for. Now, look at 2 Corinthians 6, 14, 18. Go back a few pages. Somebody there? Go ahead and read it. Keep going. Amen. Yeah. So when we do this, when we lay aside these things that we're doing that are not in righteousness and in love, and not fulfilling the laws of God, then this won't take place. It won't happen. And I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I get in such a depressed time when I feel like the Holy Spirit is not talking to me, the Lord's not talking to me, and He's not. And He's waiting for me to make a move first. So He's leaving it up to me. Do I come back to Him? Do I start seeking Him and the kingdom again? Where do I start? That's the first place I go to. The thing that helps, I've shared this with you time and time again, the thing that helps me the most is remembering the day of my salvation. That snaps me right out of that depressed mode every time I think of it. And then the pressures from, you know, because the Lord told us that we were going to have tribulations when we're in the world. And those are mental. Those are all mental tribulations. And that's where the devil fights us, in our mental part. Yeah. Yes. I got reminded of that not too long ago. Yeah, when I was going through that sickness, I kept asking, "Lord, why aren't you healing me?" Why? And he just flat told me, he says, "Gary, I'm right here with you going, thank you, Lord. That's all I needed to hear." Mm-hmm. Good analogy is when you hear the voice of the Lord. I mean, that, and He's speaking to us all the time. He's leading us. He's guiding us by His Holy Spirit. He's speaking. And we've got to understand it. We've got to learn to recognize His voice when He talks to us. Yeah. Uh-oh. Yeah. I don't know how many times I've had me asking the Lord to, you know, to answer a prayer or to pray for somebody and see the answer. You start seeing it, like you said, almost immediately. And then as soon as you see that person that you're praying about or the situation you're praying about, the Lord confirms it right then. At least He has for me. And I know He's done it for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good, yeah. Sure, it is, yeah. Sure it is. Because, you know, we've learned to walk by the flesh. It's so easy to walk by the flesh. It really is. Even after all these years, I still haven't got walking by the Spirit down. You know? It seems like the flesh always wants to take the lead, but we got to be like Paul. I got to beat that sucker back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The peace comes. Amen, yeah. Amen. Yeah. Let's go on. We must resist the devil's pressure. Okay. And the way to do that is the second part of that. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us put on the armor of light. Look at Ephesians 6 again. 11. I just read that, didn't we? Yeah, we sure did. Are you sure? You got me mixed up here. Okay, go. Okay, go back to Ephesians 6. And for some reason, this doesn't. I knew this was going to happen when I started changing that. Oh, yeah, that should be Ephesians 5. Sorry, guys. Yep. That first one should be Ephesians 5, 11 through 14. Let me go back. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Remember that? That's what it's about. Lay aside the fruits of darkness. Okay. I was in the wrong place. I was at 6. Yes, sir. Yes, you were. You're right on, Jim. No, he corrected me. He did right. He corrected me. I was the one that was off. I was right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord, for getting this right for us. All right, let me read it. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Now, he's talking about us. If you have a sin problem, expose them, okay? Get them out there. Get them away from you. It's the way to do it, okay? For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, there it is again, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So there it is. Okay? So to overcome, to lay aside these dark deeds, we got to expose them and awake and wake up. Now, back to the other, 6:11. Okay? We must resist the devil's pressures. Let us put on the armor of light. Okay, Ephesians 6, 11, 13, and 17, through 17. Would someone read that, please? 13, yeah. So we know what the fight. Any questions there? Yeah, salvation. And what Paul is doing here in these words by the Holy Spirit is he's preparing us for the Lord's return. Okay. He's getting us ready. That's why he's saying, wake up from sleep. You're doing these things. Stop doing them. Get ready. I'm coming. That's what he's telling us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why the what we read a while ago, we're supposed to learn. It's there. Mm-hmm. Is right. Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Yeah, he's still leaving it up to us. It's Bob, come here. Stand up. I'm gonna. No, come here. Come here. This is literally what the Lord is doing. Wake up, Bob. Wake up. You're doing these things. Stop it. I'm coming. I'm returning to take you home with me. Stop this stuff. Get back into spiritual matters. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Yeah, amen. It sure is. Yeah. Yeah. Run for the roar. You guys remember that? In the book that we're reading, Through the Eyes of a Lion right now? Where he says, run for the roar? That's what he's talking about. Run to him. Run back to him. Get out of this sin nature that we have. There's a way that it can be controlled. And it's controlled by the Spirit, of course. We know that. All right. Number three. Right before number three. Refuse to live like a non-believer. Right. Let us behave properly as in the day. That's verse 13. Okay. First Thessalonians. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 through 12. And let's read this. Remember, this is refuse to live like a non-believer. 9 through 12. Now, as to love for the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you did not practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, to excel more. Still more. See what he's saying there? Now get a hold of this next part. And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, attend to your own business, and work with your hands just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. So he's telling us how to live like non-believers in those verses. Did you catch all that? Look at Colossians 4, 5, and 6. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders. Make the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. in this fourth part of Colossians here, this is a prayer. Let me share this with you. This is an extra thing. Okay? No charge for this. Look what it says in verse 2. Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying at the same time. Here's a prayer for pastors and evangelists, okay? For us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. So here's a prayer for our pastors and for for missionaries, for evangelists. So be devoted to prayer is what the Lord's saying in these verses. Now what we just read here in 5 and 6 is a prayer for yourself, okay? You might pray, Lord, teach me to conduct myself with wisdom and toward outsiders. Let me see the opportunity that I have when I meet them. Let my speech always be with grace, Father, as though seasoned with salt, so I will know how I should respond to each person. So it's a prayer for ourselves. If you go over to verse 12, we see a prayer for others. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers. And here's the prayer, and you can return this prayer to others, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. We should be praying that for others, for other Christians, to be able to stand firm. And if you go down to verse 17, we see a prayer for leaders. Say, I can't pronounce his name. Say to, somebody help me. There you go. Here's the prayer. Take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. So we need to be praying for those teachers and workers in the Lord, that they may fulfill their ministry and not be discouraged and fall away from it. These are all prayers that was an extra. Now look at verse 13b, the last part of 13 there. If you notice, we see sets of sinful practices. Okay? He goes on, he says, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. That's pretty common stuff for every human being on this. Pretty common. And we were once that way. And it seems like we have, some of us have drifted back, and me included, have got back in striving for things, wanting things, lusting after things. No kidding. Mm-hmm. So if any of us are still practicing any of these, awake from sleep, wake up, stop doing it. Start seeking the kingdom of God. keep it going. Never stop doing that. The need we constantly have to clothe ourselves with the life and examples of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's in verse 14. It's written, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh in regards to it. We need constantly to clothe ourselves with the life and examples of the Lord. It says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do you do that? How do we do that? How do we put on the Lord Jesus Christ? You got it. That's the beginning. Mm-hmm. Didn't he also tell us that we could do everything that he did and more? Yes, he did. In other words, nothing's impossible for us. It's not impossible. So why do we need to do this? It's to control the sinful desire, what we just read. And that's why we need to do it. In 14b, make no provisions for the flesh in regards to its lust. Back to Ephesians 4, 22-25. Would someone read that, please? So make no provisions for the flesh in regards to its lust, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put him on every day. Every day. Look at Colossians 3, 1-11. Jim, read that one. Yeah, 3, 1-11. Yeah. So don't make any provisions for the flesh. The Lord, the flesh, you know, everything you need, God's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of all your needs, and that's for your flesh. What he says in his life. Self, I'm in the way. I'm in the way of the Lord. I stand in his way. Yeah. It's the sin nature that I have. Look, behold, I can see my sin. You see it? It's right there. It's all over me. I can see it. I can see it. David said the same thing. My sin is ever before me. And he was talking about his flesh. He was seeing it. He knew that his flesh was sinful. Mm-hmm. Apart from Christ. Pretty much finished, yeah. Patience, yeah. Any questions of what we just read? Yeah. It was 8, 9, and 10. I find myself every morning when I wake up, I'm either in praise or prayer. For some reason, I can't explain it. Mm-hmm. So I have an assignment for you. Assignment. Write this down. Tonight, before you do, now I lay me down, grab your Bible and read 1 Corinthians 13 and go to sleep thinking on those. That's the love chapter. So do that tonight, guys. I will, again. So ponder, think on it, ponder it, contemplate it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. It opens your eyes. It definitely opens your eyes. In fact, when I was a younger Christian, I could not understand that. It wasn't until I received the Holy Spirit and teaching I just started to understand that. So I had to ask the Lord plainly to teach me how to, because I don't know how.